Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Well, it's really good to have you with us again today. We've got our regular features. We've got some Bible readings, truth you can trust. So important just to read the Bible and hear what God has to say, as opposed to what we have to say to God or about God. Then we've got number three in the Titanic series. This is about prideful people. Interesting story, scary story, but lessons we can learn again. And we're running with our lawyer's case for Christianity. This is number four, entitled Without Excuse. Happy listening. Thanks for coming to be with us today. Welcome to Truth You Can Trust. These are just direct quotes from the Bible, and we believe with all our heart the Bible is a book that you can trust because it's God's word. Listen to this. Psalm 70 verse 5. I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. Philippians 4 verse 19. My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Psalm 37 verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Psalm 27 verse 9. Do not reject me nor forsake me, O God. James 5 verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Isaiah 30 verse 19. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Psalm 145 verses 8 and 18. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Truth that you can trust. Direct Bible quotations. This is the third in our Titanic series. You know, Titanic was a gigantic ship. She was the pride of the British White Star Lines. She was 882.5 feet long, weighing almost 50,000 tons. She was the largest ship afloat at the time. It took 6,000 tons of coal to feed 29 coal-fired boilers. And her rudder, which weighed 100 tons, was as high as a large house. The name Titanic comes from Titan, the sun god of the ancient Greeks, and it also means one gigantic in size and power. So on Wednesday the 10th of April 1912 at 11:45 a.m. they departed from Southampton. Captain E.J. Smith had been reported as saying, I cannot imagine any condition that would cause a ship to flounder. Modern shipbuilding has gone beyond that. Some of the crew assured passengers God Almighty couldn't sink this ship. In their minds, the name Titanic suited her well. Little did they know that the ship's maiden voyage would actually be her final voyage. That reminds me of a verse from the Bible which says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, as she sailed, it must have been a unique and a pleasurable experience. There were no vibrations, which was pretty common in ships in those days. There was unsurpassed comfort. The finest of entertainment was combined with a speed that was unusual for its day. As the ship fought its way effortlessly through the icy waters of the North Atlantic, its prideful passengers lounged and relaxed in unbelievable comfort. There were more millionaires on board in first class than ever before. The chairman of the White Star Line, J.B. Ismay, was on board for the trip. The night was smooth, calm, it was actually crystal clear. The Titanic was sailing at full speed, but three things went against the success of the voyage. A mild winter had created a massive spawning of icebergs from Greenland's northern coast into the shipping lanes of the North Atlantic. There was actually no breeze that night. Apparently a breeze would have produced ripples around the base of the iceberg, producing a glow that would have been visible for miles. And it was incredibly dark, as there was no moon. It was a moonless night in the sky. Now, I checked that one out. Is there such a possibility as a moonless night? It doesn't happen often, but it did that night, and it is a possibility. Phillips, the chief wireless officer, had received 5 warnings that day of icebergs nearby from other ships. Ignoring these, the Titanic never slackened her pace. You know, people are like that today. Many turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the warnings of God. They continue on their sinful course, regarding or not even thinking about their future. The Bible says in Job 33:14, God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. Well, on Sunday, the 14th of April 1912, about 11:40, up in the Crow's Nest, Seaman Fleet's eyes peered ahead into the cold, moonless, starry night. You know, the Titanic was racing through the water. There was a curling white wave of foam at her bow. She ploughed on at full speed. Suddenly, Fleet saw it. Ringing the warning vessel bell, he screamed, "Iceberg dead ahead!" Murdoch, the first officer, yelled to the helmsman, "Harder starboard!" Then he sprang to the lever, closing the watertight doors, but it was too late. An ominous shudder ran through the ship as a huge spur of ice under the waterline tore a 300-foot gash in the starboard forepart of the ship. She had sailed for 546 miles that day. 2 hours and 40 minutes later, at 2:20 a.m. on the 15th of April, she raised her stern as a final tribute to the North Atlantic, which was claiming her. The costly and unsinkable Titanic plunged to her death in a watery grave 2.5 miles below. Her life was short, reminding us of our lives, so brief. The Bible says this, "Our lives are passed away as the swift ships." Job 9:26 says that in the Bible. James in the Bible, he asks the question, "What is your life? It is even for a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." You know the story. There was the appropriate numbers of lifeboats aboard, but there wasn't sufficient for all. Listen to what one of the survivors said. "The agonising cries of death from over 1,000 throats, the wails and groans of the suffering, the shrieks of terror of the terror-stricken, and the awful gasping for breath of those in the last throes of drowning, none of us will ever forget to our dying day." 6 hours later, the last survivor was taken on board the Carpathia. 705 saved, 1,500 lost. The majority perished that night. You know, the Bible says about salvation, "Few there be that find it." I want to tell you today, God has a lifeboat for all. There is no lack of room. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible states that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you trust him? Learn the lesson of the Titanic. Learn the lesson of life. And ensure you're right with God before it's far too late. Hi there, thanks for listening to A Lawyer's Case for Christianity. We're working our way through a book in the Bible called the Book of Romans, which was written by a lawyer and about Jesus Christ. And we're in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 17 to 20. It's talking about the gospel of Christ. It says, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." I'd like to head my talk today, "We are without excuse." They're the last set of words in verse 20 that we read. Why is the human race without excuse? Well, last time I did a recording on the Lawyer's Case for Christianity, we spoke about Romans chapter 1 and up to verse 16. And verse 16 talks about the gospel of Christ, that it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus Christ is God's answer for mankind's need. Jesus Christ is the one that God sent into the world. And the evidence stacks up that he is the Son of God, that he fulfilled the ancient scriptures, that he did the miraculous, that his life was perfect. And the Bible teaches that he alone was capable of taking the full brunt of God's judgment and bearing God's punishment for sin when he died on the cross, so that if we trust him, he can credit us with a right standing before God. He can save us, forgive us, and change our lives. The gospel is the means by which God reveals to the world how good he is, his righteousness. And we understand it by faith. And it ends up in living a life trusting God. And the result is that those who are right with God, they live by faith. Now, verse 18 of the little section that we've read says this: the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. God is angry. The word wrath in the Bible speaks about God's anger that will be poured out upon this earth in a future day. God is angry because we have not only sinned against him, but we've refused his offer of forgiveness. So here the verse says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So God is angry because men have turned away from God and they do what is evil, they hurt each other, they do what is unjust, they do what is harmful, they do what is anti-God. But listen to what it says, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Mankind has refused to acknowledge the truth. If you stay listening to this little section and come back in future weeks, you will discover that this chapter in the book of Romans explains how mankind has suppressed the truth and rejected the knowledge of God. But our verses are saying that what is known about God is evident within us. There is a verse in the Old Testament that says God has written eternity in our hearts. It's found in the book of Ecclesiastes. This verse is possibly saying not so much just that God has made himself known within us, but amongst us. In other words, there are those who know the truth and they're telling others about it because God has made it evident to them. You know, God has spoken in your conscience, through the things round about you, using your intelligence, and ultimately through his word and through his son, Jesus Christ. God has made it evident what the truth is. Now, maybe you reject that, but I would put it to you today, there is sufficient evidence to know the truth. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 20 of our chapter. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they're without excuse. In other words, God created the physical world. He created the principles of physics and chemistry and anatomy and biology and all those intricate scientific expertises are based on principles and rules and ordinances and conditions that God placed in our environment. DNA, the language of science, is all there to elucidate, to produce for us evidence that God, the intelligent God of heaven, exists. So today, I point you to Jesus Christ as God's Son. I point you to the evidence that God has given in the created universe round about us, and I say to you today, the Bible says we are without excuse. I leave it with you and trust that you might come to know God in your life. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.